Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 671. I am Chris. I'm alive. Also, as always, joined by Tony.
Guys, I'm opening a restaurant. I got 10,000 people coming over tomorrow night. Only three tables. It'll be fine. It's going to be fine.
It's going to work real well for you. Earl is here as well.
I would just like to take this opportunity right now to announce that I have also bought my freedom from Embrace the Group. So I will be putting out this podcast independently now. It only cost me a few million.
Way less than they originally bought you for. So. Jeff is here also.
I once again have no idea what the fuck you guys are talking about.
So the Tony's reference is in regards to the new Aspyr port of the classic Battlefront.
Yeah. Battlefront
games. They released the collection of them, Battlefront 1 and 2. Supposed to be some new content in them. And the big draw of it was that they were going to have multiplayer servers up. They did.
There were servers.
Three of them that supported 64 players apiece.
Is that not servers? I mean, they did not say there was
several servers.
Out of them, it is the plural of server. So yes, they had that going. So, good on them.
It's like coming out and saying, "Oh, you guys can play professional basketball. We've got you get this job, you make millions of dollars. There's only 300 people who can have this job in the world, but you know, it's great. Anybody can do it."
Not absolutely nonsense. And they were asking like $35 for it. So
for a game you can't play unless you're one of the lucky 192.
Also, just remind me, these are the games that have like 64 player. Like it's like one game at a time, right?
I believe so.
32.
It might have been 32 when they originally came out, but they were all peer to peer as well. I don't know how that worked back then. But the big draw of this was the fact that you could play with 64 people, play it all like with multiplayer. Because I don't think that the games that are up right now have any ability to play multiplayer, and neither do these new ones. So, because you can buy the other ones, like the originals published by LucasArts are up. Like you could buy them. I think they're like $5-6 currently on Steam. So,
you should go play those. They probably have more available servers.
Yeah.
How could they do this?
Don't know.
That's an interesting question, and. I mean, if you have that experience, you just immediately refund the game. So, like,
yeah,
how do you make any money?
Weirdly, Aspyr is maybe currently part of Embracer, but they fall under Saber Interactive, which may be what Earl was referring to. There's a bunch of different studios that are buying themselves back.
Yes,
from Embracer.
There was one this morning. I want to say the people behind Metro. Is it 4A?
Okay. Yeah.
And I think there's a few other studios that came with them. It is one of those things that is always fascinating to me because you forget like how many studios Embracer absorbed recently. So like when they're like, oh yeah, so and so is breaking off from them, I just think. I didn't even realize they owned them. Did they do anything in that time?
Most of what they've done has been nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that is accurate.
They've released, I think the Martian games where you play as the Martian. Destroy All Humans. They released those
that's right.
Remakes. I think we might have done Dead Island 2, which was somewhat of a success.
I mean, it's on Game Pass, the best value in gaming. They do not pay us every time I say that. I wish they did.
I think they do, though. You keep saying it.
No.
For some reason, you keep bringing it up. And
because it's on Game Pass, the best value in game. And you might as well.
Either right there. You have some sort of sponsorship deal or something. Do they make you sign, like, you can't tell us? Like, you have an NDA?
I have no idea what you're talking about. It's just a fantastic service. It's like NordVPN.
Yeah. they Deep Silver published Dead Island 2 and was developed by their studio, Dambuster. And they are a division of the Embracer Group. So, yes.
Oh, okay. So they broke up from Saber. That's who they broke up with this morning.
Oh, yes. And Saber, I believe, owns Aspyr.
Yes, it's what is it? Hold on. Okay, so Embrace it. What does? Oh my gosh, this eagle jargon is way too much. Yeah. So Saber gets all Saber branded studios. Digic, Fractured Bite, Mad Head Games, New World Interactive, Nimble Giant, Saber Interactive, Sandbox Strategies, Shipgate, 3D Realms. I obviously didn't realize 3D Realms is still around.
I don't think 3D Realms knew they were still around.
Yeah. Embrace 3-4 Big Things, 4A Games, Aspyr, whatever.
Beam oh, they keep Dog. Aspyr.
Yeah, Beam Dog, Shiver, Snapshot, Tripwire, Tuxedo Labs, and Zen Studios. Again, didn't realize they own Zen Studios, who I mostly just know because I think I could be wrong. They only published those pinball games, right?
They're the Zen Pinball and Pinball yeah. FX studio, yeah. So they're keeping 4A?
Yeah, so it seems.
So they're keeping the Metro team then, I guess.
Yeah. To do what? Who knows?
And they're keeping Aspyr and Beamdog, who Aspyr is the one that just fucked up with that Star Wars Battlefront game, so should have packed them off with Saber. Like, your issue now. Get out of here. I hear Gearbox is lining up to try to buy themselves back or be sold to a different publisher as well. Do you know they own Dark Horse Comics as well?
I did not know that.
Gearbox?
Embracer.
Oh, I mean. They do own them and Tencent ended up buying a lot, not just in game, and they bought a bunch of like movie companies or licensing deals. Like I think Tencent had a licensing deal with Legendary, who movie productions was always weird to me because Legendary isn't like it's a house, but it's not like the big five. But they tended to partner up with Warner Brothers, like they did the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, Pacific Rim. They did. You know, Godzilla, King of Monsters, Kong Skull Island, and stuff like that. So, but yeah, it was just heavy investments with like so little expectations. I mean, I assume they had expectations, but like, they weren't putting products in the pipeline.
No, they bought Crystal Dynamics, they bought Eidos Montreal. Nothing's come from them. Then they sold. They sold Tomb Raider to Amazon. So Amazon's making the next Tomb Raider game.
God.
But not sold. I guess they like leased it. Licensed it out.
Moro God.
Yeah. Very strange. So yeah. That's what Earl was referring to. Jeff. Jeff, did you get a chance to play any of the new Contra game?
You mean Contra OG?
It is that, isn't it?
Operation Galuga?
Yeah.
Yeah. I played five levels of it, five stages.
Much more than I have.
I played
a stage, so.
Yeah, yeah. What do you played like the opening?
Yeah, that opening jungle story mission. Yeah, which is like kind of like the first portion of it is like tutorial.
Very reminiscent of the first level of Contra.
Yeah. You're running through. You have, like, there's a little bit of platforming. There's a couple of different, like, there's an upper level and a lower level. You can jump up to it by double jumping because for whatever reason, your guy can double jump. They do make a kind of a funny joke. It's not funny necessarily, but they do make a comment about the fact that all Contra operatives can for some reason jump and then jump again in the air. there's weapons, like, so there's like the little supply pads come back, they come around, you shoot them, different weapons drop out of them. If you pick up a second of that weapon, it levels it up. So it was a machine gun, it now shoots like more bullets and a different type of spread, or and they all sort of have a special mode too, it seems.
An overload, I think it's called. If you hold down like the left trigger, usually, yeah. I think you sacrifice your gun in the process of doing that, though. So it's like a save for the boss type thing. But even then, it's like, okay, well, now there goes my spread shot. It's a pretty good gun.
Is it the gun you have, or is it the spare gun? Because you can keep two now, right?
It's the gun whatever gun you have selected will blow up and do its special.
Yeah, there's like a special extra strong attack that it does. And it's kind of neat. Like the one I got was the three, the gun that shoots the three, like the out in front, down to the bottom and up to the top. And
yeah, then, the spread. Yeah.
And then I overloaded that and like there were fucking bullets everywhere.
Yeah. And that's good for clearing a screen, or if you're fighting a boss, it'll do a lot of damage. But like I just said, like there goes your gun. So it's it's a trade-off. One thing I don't like about the weapon system is that, like, all right, so you're carrying you got your spread shot, hell yeah, but you got an extra slot, and you pick up, I don't know what, something else. But you're not using
the flamethrower, because the flamethrower sucks.
And you're not using that one, and then you go and run and pick up another weapon, like type of weapon. It should, in my opinion, swap out for the weapon you're not using, because obviously you don't like that weapon as much. But no, it swaps out whatever your active weapon is. So you gotta be careful what you're running over,
especially if you've leveled it up to like a second level. Mm. And so it's a more powerful gun. Like you can actually accidentally throw that away.
Yeah, it kind of. I mean, just to like back up a little bit, I guess, I think that if you like the original Contra, this is pretty faithful to it, and you're going to feel pretty at home. But yeah, like, we've started to describe some of the new wrinkles that they've added to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a run-and-gun game.
Yeah, it's just, I don't think they're, like, a lot of shmups have that, where if you pick up the same weapon again, it levels the weapon up, but I don't think the original Contra was like that.
I don't remember.
It's been a while, but I don't think so. The other cool thing, like, or newish thing, I would say, is like the there's a perk shop. So like you earn credits as you play, and you could buy perks that you could equip two of them at a time through any level, and those become pretty useful. You got like 1,000 coins for getting this game early or whatever. So like I started off with like a bunch of these credits.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately I bought, if you die, you retain your weapon. I was like, I'm equipping this every fucking stage, because like that's fucking clutch, you know?
Yeah, like then you come in with a powered up weapon at least to start with, which could be useful. I didn't dig into the perks thing yet. You earned a decent amount though just by playing a level, so.
Well, and here's I guess the other thing that's different and new, and my question for you is, there's difficulty levels. So what are you playing on?
I started out on whatever the default is.
Oh, okay.
But I know, knowing how I suck at Contra. about 3 or 4 levels in, I feel like, fuck this shit. Like, I drop it so easy.
I knew right from the start that I actually wanted to see how an easy mode would be in Contra, because I'm just so used to the NES thing where it's like the only easiness you're getting is the Konami code, and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
You know, and on top of the difficulty setting here, you have an option to choose whether you have a life meter or one hit kills.
Yeah, which seems weird with the difficulty setting. Like, just if you choose easy, like, why would you choose one hit kills? I mean, I guess it would still provide you with some sort of challenge, but
it's what I could imagine. Like, so if you want the true NES Contra experience, you could do normal difficulty and one hit kills. Are you doing one hit kills too?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, I have.
So if you really want to go back in the day, you can on this, but you could also, you know, kind of push the slider all the way to the other side, which is what I'm doing. I'm on easy and I have the life meter, and the game will still kind of push you to your limit. And I've run out of lives a handful of times now.
If you run out of lives, I mean, is there like a checkpoint system? Can you continue?
Yes. Okay. So there is checkpointing in the levels, and even if you run out of lives and you continue, you will start from the checkpoint. So it seems almost like, okay, well then what's the point of having lives? Well, right. I discovered that tonight, which is if you run out of lives completely twice doing a level, you're starting over.
Okay.
So it's very lenient, but there is, like, you know, I was at a boss and I was just like, at least I think I started over. I don't know. I was set back a little bit from the boss for sure. But yeah, putting all these like helpers in, like easy difficulty and life meter, has allowed me to, like, the game's challenging, but for the most part, I'm getting through it just fine. It would be interesting though, and like I probably will do this once I beat the game, is to like go back and play it more properly. I don't think I'll turn on one hit kills, but
yeah,
part of a game like this, like a, you know, this type of game is like you learning the patterns and learning the levels and getting good at the levels. As it is, playing on easy, I'm probably going to plow through it in a couple hours, which brings up, you know, the value proposition of this game. This is not cheap. It's $40.
It's a $40 game, yeah.
And,
I guess we should disclose that,
yeah,
both of us are playing with codes that you got.
That's what I do.
Yeah. So yeah, I did not pay $40
all over again.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're being upfront about it.
We're disclosing it.
I guess I should also disclose that, like, friends with someone that works there, and so it's, I don't think that would influence my opinion. I generally just like Contra. I was interested in checking this game out.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know, I don't think it's perfect. I think they fucked themselves on the price point. I think if you put this out at like $20, it would probably be a much better seller than it's going to be. I don't think it's going to do great at $40.
I don't know what the market for Contra is outside of people like us that like retro type games like this and have a nostalgia for like, I don't even have that strong of a nostalgia for the series, but people do. Like, they're the ones that are going to pay this, but
I'm surprised. Like, for me, I, in my opinion, it's like, if you had an NES as a kid, you probably had this game, like, and
oh, sure.
I liked it, you know? So yeah, I have a nostalgia for it for sure. Never gotten to like the rest of the series that much. I've played a bunch of them. And I'm liking this. It's cool. It's a fun time.
Did it?
Yeah. You know,
like when you booted it up, it gave you, like, you know, here's your 1,000 points for your early access, whatever. Did you get like a bunch of other bonuses too, though? Because like I got one. You like Castlevania.
Like, yes.
So I guess it's like reading your either your profile or your achievement list somewhere, and is hey, yes. like you played the Contra collection, you played the Castlevania collection.
Yeah, basically, if you own those, you get, what is it, soundtracks, basically. Like, you can play, like, there's an arcade mode, which I have not checked out yet, but, like, you could play with the original Contra soundtrack, like the NES Contra soundtrack on it, or, for whatever reason, the old Castlevania games. So, like, I guess that would be kind of interesting to do.
Yeah, I'm...
just a different vibe.
Willing to, like, put that soundtrack on. Like, Castlevania music is good.
That's a neat little like bonus or whatever. I think there's shortcomings besides the price versus the length, which I think is the big problem with the game. Visually, in my opinion, it doesn't look like an NES game. It doesn't look like an 8-bit or anything. They're like trying to modernize the visuals, but they're like, I would not have gone the cartoony route. I would have tried to make it look more realistic.
I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but it looks like a Way Forward game.
Like yeah.
They have like an art style that they kind of utilize, and that's what this is.
And like their art style feels like handheld, like a DS game, or you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like,
yeah,
that makes sense. I mean, that's kind of where they got big on
Shantae and
River
City Girls and stuff like that.
But, you know, I think even on, like, the Switch, you could have pushed a more realistic art style, which I think would fit Contra. I don't know, like...
Oh, the other thing, it's very talky. And maybe I am missing this from, like... I did not play, like, a bunch of the Contra collection, but, like, there's a lot of story they're trying to distribute, at least in the opening chapter here.
Yeah, like the I'm against it, you know me, like and it's like the original Contra had like nothing. NES games in general basically had nothing. It was just like, hey, you've seen Predator, what if like something like that, like there's a jungle and dudes shooting and there's an alien. I don't remember there being a huge like plot.
There's a lot of story.
this one, yes, it's like the cutscenes go on too long, and I don't know. I'm not into that at all.
They're describing like political intrigue and like the
this
faction is very strong, and like, I don't know the Contra lore.
I'm just clicking A. Get me through this. I'm not gonna pay attention to the story for Contra. I don't care.
So two things on that. So like pressing A like does speed it through. It does have that thing where if you press A, it'll like drop all the dialogues. You can like read it real quick, and then if you press it again, it like cuts it off. So at least it has like the ability to kind of skip it.
Yeah.
Which is nice, but I'm like trying to pay attention. I'm like, one, it's a little absurd that like I'm playing the guy with the red pants. He has no shirt, but he has like the Rambo bandolier and the headband. It's like, it's a little bit absurd. They're just like hanging out in this chopper. His feet are up on the dashboard. It's like ridiculous. It's neat though.
It's fun. It's a fun time. Like if you like Contra, you're probably going to like it. Like I'm a big fan of the original Contra. I am. And I'm having a good time with this, but there's the shortcomings that we said. And then there's also on the Switch version frame rate dips. Which I noticed cause I played the demo on the Switch and that's not great for a run and gun action game.
Yeah,
not at all.
You don't want noticeable dips, and I don't know why. Maybe they had trouble optimizing it or whatever. I feel like the Switch hardware could handle whatever the fuck this is doing, but it doesn't. So,
we'll say I did not experience any of that playing on Xbox. So,
yeah, I'm playing on Xbox, and yeah, it runs totally smooth. And again, this is not, I can't tell you to go out and buy this for $40 because I just feel like you'll be done with it in a day or two. You'll get a little bit more out of it if you play it on the normal difficulty, because you will have to learn levels, and you know you're not just going to breeze through the game like I kind of am right now. Because it gets hard. It gets hard, Chris, for sure.
Yeah, I think I'll be dropping it to easy in no time. If you like achievements, so this has a ton to go at. Like they're going to be hard to like go after some of these. Like I will not get a lot of them.
So you looked at the list, because I just noticed like in the first level they like threw a lot at me and then nothing since. So
yeah, like I got like four just playing that first level, and I looked at the list and it's like, you know, every story mode mission you complete, like you'll every story mode stage has one. Then there's other ones like overload each weapon twice, but then there are ones like defeat the boss in stage one in arcade mode without dying. Like in fact, there's one for all of those, and there's like do it without getting damage.
So that
complete the game in an hour.
Some of that stuff will, you know, if you go after that,
if you're
stuff,
good,
it'll expand your playtime with it.
Yes, like if you want to hunt those achievements and stuff, you'll get some more gameplay out of this. If you just want to run through the story, probably going to be like what, like you said, like a couple days worth of play, and you'll be done. But
yeah, you know, the stages are not short, but I think there's only like 8 of them, so it's like, all right, this 10, you know. 10 to 15 minute stage. So yeah, you're going to be dying and shit, but like,
here's a question for you. Since you played you said you're on like stage 4 or 5, do they have the tunnel stages?
What do you mean? Like when you're behind their backs or whatever?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So it's just side scrolling running gun.
Well, I think they kind of replaced them with stages where you're on motorcycles. Cause like
okay,
the original Contra, like yeah, the second stage was like that kind of behind the back perspective.
Yeah,
and here the second level is like a motorcycle stage. So I think that's what they were like. Oh, we gotta switch it up a little bit, and that's what they came up with. Those are cool too, because like sometimes they'll do that thing. You know, it's 2D, but then they'll suddenly shift the camera to a more cinematic angle, like where you're kind of like coming at the camera. Kind of, you know. What developer does that a lot? Mercury Steam, I want to say, does that. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of, they'll do that in the motorcycle levels. It's pretty neat. Like, sometimes you'll be getting chased by someone, and they'll shift the camera to, like, right in front of your bike, and then you're shooting back at somebody. It looks cool. But, yeah, so there's a few of those I've ran into so far. And the levels do not, like... always like they're not always replicating something you remember from the original Contra. The one I'm going through right now is like this very weird like cave that I'm going through where that has like these crystals that like distort your view. I don't know how to describe it other than you'll know what I'm talking about when you get there.
Did you put in the Konami code? Does that work?
No, I don't know. I did not.
Gotta try that.
Sure, yeah. It seems like you would have to do something with that. It's Contra, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta at least try it.
Overall, you know, I'm having fun with it, but I'd say wait for a sale.
It is, currently it's on sale for
10% like off.
10% off.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you might want to wait a little bit. But
there'll be bigger sales on it for sure.
And I think you can get the Contra collection for like $20. So,
and that oftentimes you could get it for $5.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think it's Konami. Like, they did not overprice the collections. I think $20 for those collections are great. I think they overpriced this with the intention of like we'll get sales on sales when we do sales, you know.
And it's like a significant like maybe their hope was like it's a significantly better Contra than the last Contra we put out. And
one they put out was garbage, wasn't it?
Yeah, Rogue Core.
This is not. This is like game. This is, you know, and WayForward did Contra 4, which is like one of the only other really good ones. So,
yep. All right. So that's Contra. Pretty good. So,
we'll have final thoughts next week. I'm sure we'll both be through it. Like,
yeah,
probably an hour long game. So.
We'll get through it and report back. Earl, you play anything else this week?
Nothing new and exciting, sadly.
There's nothing new. That's it. It's just Contra.
What?
How dare you, Tony? What have you played that's new?
I mean, I'm still playing Helldivers 2.
Boo.
Which they added mechs to.
Didn't they also add flying bugs or something like that?
So they showed video of flying bugs. I haven't yet encountered a flying bug myself. I mean, one of the differences, so in the game, you either fight robots or you fight bugs. And one of the key differences is the bugs are almost entirely lacking ranged attacks. And the range attacks they do have are very, very short ranged. So having something that flies at you or attacks from the air is going to change up that dynamic a little bit. Actually, we played with the bugs too much because I was playing last weekend and decided randomly to switch to the robots. And it's like a completely different game because now you have to worry about like cover and like line of sight because the robots can shoot you from like across the map. So you went from like being able to walk around impervious unless they were right next to you to like having to hide behind a rock and like peek out to make sure it's okay. But one of the missions from last week, like the operations, was to protect this one particular planet that produced mechs. And since the player base succeeded in that mission, everyone got a mech they could call down at least once every mission. They've since taken the mech back. Like you can unlock it as an acquisition, so you can call it in if you level up high enough and spend the currency to get it. But for like a few days, you could just call in your own mech without having to do that, and it's pretty cool. It has like it has a Gatling gun on one side and fires rockets from the other side.
That is neat.
Yeah, it's pretty damage resistant too. I will say though, the first time I called it in, ever, I'm like, I'm so excited to try this. Let's call in the mech. I'd put out my mortar turret.
Mm-hmm.
And the mortar turret fires at everything, right? It doesn't really distinguish between like it safe targets and targets it should attack. So like if bugs are close to you, it'll still try to kill those bugs, even though the mortar explosion will also kill you. So it's kind of like fires everywhere and hits your allies a lot, which is unfortunate. But I had put out my turret and then called in this mech. Well, the turret was trying to hit like bugs that were far away, but instead it hit the plane that was dropping off my mech, destroying the plane. And then the wreckage of the mech landed on me and flattened me. I did eventually get to try it, but no, just not that time. And it is pretty cool. The one weakness of the mech is like it runs out of ammo. And once it runs out of ammo, it's pretty useless. It's just a walker that you're walking around. You also can't call anything in when you're inside of it. Like you literally have to get out if like your teammates die and you need to reinforce. You have to get out of the mech.
Because you have to throw the ball.
Throw the ball and then get back in. Which, if you're like getting to the end of a mission and you're like being overwhelmed with guys, is a little harrowing. Especially if the being inside the mech is the only thing keeping you alive. But that game is so fun. The farther you get, the more cool things you unlock. I've unlocked a bomb now. It's basically a nuclear bomb. That can wipe out an entire robot base in one shot.
That's useful.
Yeah. No, that's nice. And it's not like the hell bomb. You don't have to like walk over and turn it on. It's just the plane just drops it and explodes. The one problem with attacks like that is you literally have to throw the grenade to the spot.
Yeah.
There are armor suits I've seen that you can unlock that let you throw farther. Because some of those attacks, like the 380 millimeter barrage or the walking barrage, those shells land in many, many places around where the grenade lands. Like, you can very easily kill yourself.
Yeah, I think you've thrown one in past matches where it's like, oh, we got some room and then stuff's blowing by me and Sean. Like, we're not anywhere near where that laser was focused at.
No. And yet, they apparently patched the 380 millimeter barrage to land closer to the target. I have not noticed a difference. So, I don't know how subtly they adjusted that. It was not very much.
Fun. Anything else besides Helldivers?
I also started Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Okay.
I finished
my replay of it, so
yeah. I mean, it's not long, right? It's only like 25 hours at most.
Yeah, I think this size game, but it's decent. But like, considering, you know, some other Final Fantasies can push a, you know, 50, 60, 70 hours. 25 is a decent sized JRPG. Like,
yeah, especially when you're looking at the, because I'm looking at it with an eye toward playing Rebirth, which is far longer than that.
Like, if you're doing the side content in that, that's pushing close to 100 hours.
Yeah.
So it's
enjoyable. I like it.
Okay.
I don't really have a whole lot to say that's new on that game. It's really good. I haven't played it before, but I like it. What were you saying, Jeff?
It's like, these are two pieces of one thing that is remaking Final Fantasy VII. Right?
Yes.
But as I think, Chris, you explained, like, once you get to Rebirth, it starts to really...
It changes some changes. Things. So they change things at the very end of Remake. Like, you're still kind of going along, but, like, I don't really know where they're going to go with Rebirth. Up until the end of Remake, like, it's like, all right, they've expanded on the Final Fantasy VII story, because if you've played Final Fantasy VII, the Midgar section of that is at best 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and they've expanded it out to 25. Okay. It's like there's a lot of extra story. There's a lot of like side quests and stuff you can do.
Well, that was, I think, going to be my other question. Is like, how long was Final Fantasy VII if these combined are over 100 hours?
Yeah, so Final Fantasy VII was like 40 hours, maybe 50, 55 if you, like, did everything.
Yeah.
And they're just making, like, it's very expansive, you know, extension of it here.
I don't get why they split it, though. Why do they just...
Isn't there a third one, too?
There's going to be a third
one. Get out of town. And that's part seven as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, that's... So, even after this gigantic Rebirth, you're not going to reach the end of seven's story.
No. In fact, you will... God. My understanding is, and I haven't played Rebirth yet, is that where this ends in... So, spoilers for Final Fantasy VII. Aerith... It's a big scene. Aerith dies. She's killed by Sephiroth. It's like a big emotional scene. And then you move on to the third disc, and it's like this. From my understanding, is this takes you up to that point. I don't know if they do it in the exact way. I don't know if she's going to die here or not. That was a big. What was it? The New York Times or somebody like had an article and like, will Aerith die in Rebirth? Like,
and I hate how people are like, you can't spoil a game. It's like the game.
Spoil a game that's been out for more than 20 years.
The game came out in 1997. Like, everybody,
it's a classic at this point. If you don't know it, it's kind of your fault.
It's like spoiling Luke and Vader.
Yeah,
exactly. Think it's like gamers have like made references. Like whenever you hear like what scenes made you emotional. Like, that's always near the top for a lot of people. It's like, you folks decades now, and now you're mad because somebody else does it. But it's a mainstream publication.
Yeah. So I'm glad you're at least enjoying what you've played of it so far.
Yeah, I'm still in like the super linear part of it, so
there I'm are
looking forward to it like expanding a bit and
yeah,
other stuff.
It never like super expands, but there are sections where you'll be able to go do side quests. You'll be able to explore a little bit more. Like you never have. It's never a full open world game. You never have full access to everything, but you'll get like more bigger areas to explore. There'll be like some stuff to do. Some of it goofy, some of it very, like a lot of them are very fetch questy, but like they're kind of fun to go do anyway.
It's odd how the game is like a weird combination of normal and goofy. Like, you've got all these people who look really normal, and here's Cloud walking with its giant sword.
This sword's ridiculous.
Like, everybody else has, like, except the guy with the gun arm.
Barrett, yeah.
Everyone else looks perfectly normal. And, like, here's, like, guy with a giant Gatling gun, like, walking down a train amongst all these normal people. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And like early on, you'll meet like some of the other Avalanche members, Biggs and Wedge, and like I swear to God, Biggs looks like Charlie Sheen. Like,
I did meet him, and yes, he does look like Charlie Sheen. Like, that was the exact thought I had. In fact,
like Charlie Sheen in what was that a that was like a Rambo parody, Hot Shots Part Two.
Yeah,
it's like him from that. It's ridiculous.
I tried watching one of those. I think this year.
Were you able to?
I didn't get through it because I was watching the first one and I was like, "This is not that great." And then I was like, "Maybe Part Two was the real," but never got around to it. I was like, "All right, yeah, I remember these sick movies." Not... Like
So, building off of that, though, Tony, so I finished it, and I came away liking it more than I did even the first time, so that was fun, but I'm also playing the Inner Grade, I guess is the version it's called, so it has the Intermission DLC, which is played by Yuffie. I've always called her Yuffie, but it's not. But
you've been pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah, it's Yuffie, and I've been pronouncing it wrong for 25 years. Probably everybody else has as well. So,
not just you. We all knew.
I mean, I mispronounced a lot of things. You know, Mario and
Mario is the big one.
What about Tidus?
Is that how it's pronounced?
I always forget if it's Tidus or Titus. I know there was a debate. Yeah, I don't know.
For a game that actually has voice acting, I don't know if they ever actually say his name. I don't remember. So, yeah, the DLC, though, with Yuffie, she's really fun to play. She has, like, a ninja star she throws out, and then it can do damage from afar. So you're doing extra attacks, so you don't have to get close. But then if enemies get close, like she does like kung fu on them. So she's like a neat character to play as, but the DLC is not good. Like the story is stupid. She's just there. I'm here to get the ultimate materia. Who cares? So I will play through that because it's only two chapters and the chapters in this aren't super long, but I'm looking forward to finally getting to Rebirth at some point after I get back from Chicago next week. So,
and the only thing I will say, because I mean, I don't know how much you folks saw those sales, and I mean, the sales aren't necessary. It's whatever. It will do fine. But it's, you know, this is selling less than the last one, and I imagine the third one will sell less than this, is because, like, at the end of the day, it is as fascinating an experiment as it is. It does kind of forced you to have familiarity with a game that is almost 30 years old, that is then a sequel to a remake of that game. And it's like, at some point, it does kind of become a bit too meta and dense for its own good.
Sure. I would also say that some of the sales issues arise around the fact that Remake launched on PlayStation 4 at the tail end of, I think it was the year that the PlayStation 5 came out. And now, like 4 years later, the PlayStation 5 and Series X are out, but the install base is not the same as the PS4.
No, and that is fair.
And it is only on PS5. It is not on anything else.
Well, I think, the same was true of the last one, too.
Yes, it finally come to PC.
Yes, and then, it was ported to PS5 eventually. But I was also going to say the other thing I thought that Drew was going to say is that, good, bad, or whatever, like, Helldiver kind of came out of nowhere to suck the oxygen out of the room.
Yeah.
For the month. So I feel like so many people are on that. It's just a fascinating thing because, you do ask more and more of, your audience to, be very invested in this very specific ecosystem. I forget, I was talking to a friend the other week. It's Final Fantasy VII is, its own sub-universe in the Final Fantasy universe in general, because, it has, two movies. I know it has Advent Child, and I want to say they did a second movie. There's, the fighting game that's around it. And, all of those have, stories that actually connect to the game in some fashion.
Yes. So I actually just watched a video on Urguys, which was the fighting game.
Yes, that's, one of their first 3D fighters, right? That's what... Is that what... What is that PlayStation 2 launch title?
Obel.
What?
Is that the one you're talking about?
No, the one from Square.
What did you say, Chris?
Obel. The Bouncer.
Gobel?
About the... Tobel number one, but I thought you were talking about the fighting game from PlayStation 1, which was a Square title. Yeah. You're talking about the Bouncer, which was a PlayStation 2 launch title.
Yes, and I think that was built off of that engine or something like that. That's how my brain was connecting the dots there. But yes, that stuff where and there's story elements too. At the time, it's just it's more Final Fantasy VII. People are just really invested in these characters. It was a big, big game. But now it's also do we kind of need to know what happened in the movie? Though I think the movie's a sequel to the game, so that happens afterwards.
Which makes no sense either, because, if you played the games, Aerith dies, but she's in that movie. It's weird, man.
Did she die? Maybe we all imagine.
Who knows? There's multiple spin-off games, out besides these. There was a Crisis Core, Dirge of Cerberus, which is with Vincent, who's the vampire type party member that you can optionally get. I think there is a second movie, Earl. I don't remember what it was. And I don't think it's live anymore. There was a battle royale. Final Fantasy VII Battle Royale that has story in it that is considered part of the universe.
Canon to the Final Fantasy VII universe.
I saw somebody talking about it and it was
that feels a bridge too far.
Yeah, that seems crazy. Who is putting story into a battle royale that nobody played and is not alive? And it's spread out through there's Final Fantasy VII characters appear in they're in Smash now, I think.
But it's that they don't have to worry about the story, but they already
know. There's multiple books.
Like I said, a whole expanded universe to itself.
Yeah. So I think you're right. I don't know what their expectations are for it, but hopefully it does well enough. And I kind of feel like they're making these just for me anyway, so it's fine.
Chris wanted them.
Yeah. I am interested to play that, to play Rebirth, because I hear that, like, that you notice the goofiness in Remake, Tony. They lean even further into that, it seems, in Rebirth, and I'm interested to see how that goes. Right. Jeff, did you play anything else besides Contra?
Elatro.
Okay. Oh.
Nothing to add.
Nothing new, nothing new on that.
Still a fun game, yeah.
I bought Balatro.
Cool. See, look at me. I segued you.
I have not played it yet, though.
Oh, well, never mind.
but it works as a segue because I bought it because my Steam Deck arrived. And
oh, yeah.
There you go.
So I put it on there to take it with me when I travel next week. And I will play it then.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you travel next week, are you going to have a car?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to give you some spots that, like, not the tourist spots, the fucking real spots.
All right.
All right.
You let me know. Get mugged for real.
No. I won't send you anywhere dangerous.
Awesome. Can't wait.
I could send you somewhere dangerous if you want. I can tell you.
No, I'm good. I just watched Judgment Night with you, Jeff. I know what happens. I know what the seedy streets of Chicago are like. They're all like
some fucking bombed out hellscape.
Just train yards and abandoned building tops.
Newspapers rolling through the streets and shit. Yeah.
Nobody in the entire city. Yes, I will have a car. I bought a Steam Deck, the OLED. It's a nice piece of hardware.
What's the graphics card in that thing?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I keep looking at it. I'm like, I kind of want it, but I really want to, like, compare it to my actual PC and be like, is it worth it?
Your actual PC is better than whatever this is.
I'm sure, but is it so much better that it's not worth it, or, like, are they close enough where I could?
I just wanted to fuck around and try it. I installed Helldivers 2.
Okay.
And it booted up, and it looks just as good as it does on my PC. So that's maybe not the best litmus test.
Maybe not the best comparison.
Yeah. Because Helldivers 2 is not a looker. Doesn't look bad, but it's not like an amazing game. But I was able to, like, easily jump in and play it. It did, like, recommend. It was like, hey, you should adjust your settings, but I guess I had already adjusted them on my PC to that it worked fine with the Steam Deck. I don't know. I haven't played anything that's, like, super graphically intense to be able to tell you if it is worth it from that standpoint, but it is a nice piece of tech. And I think Earl, you had mentioned you played one a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It does have a weight to it. And I haven't actually compared it to my Switch, but it doesn't feel like this is, like, super heavy.
I don't think it's heavier. I just felt it was wider.
It does feel a little bit wider, like, and maybe it's the way, it's also the way the thumbsticks are positioned, and the D-pad and face buttons, because they're all at the top. So I think, like, your weight distribution and, like, the way you're holding it is just a little bit different than with the Switch, where it has the offset thumbstick, so you're kind of, like, holding it top left hand up top, right hand down to the bottom a little bit. And with this, you're kind of, all your weight is more up to the top. I like it. Everyone's like, oh, it's really easy to put emulators and stuff on it. No, it is easier to do it on a PC. Fucking Linux is a pain in the ass. Also, I'm trying to do it with their touchpad, so, like, dragging and dropping shit is just, it's not easy.
You connect it to your TV.
You can. I have, and it just, so I bought a dock. I was like, oh, you can get a Steam, the Steam Deck dock is like $80. And I was like, no. And so I started looking at reviews and stuff, and they were like, just buy a regular PC dock with a HDMI output. So I have not tried putting it into my TV yet, but I should, and just plug like a keyboard and a mouse and be able to drag and drop stuff that way. Probably work a whole lot easier. But it's super cool. I am happy with the purchase. The one thing I'll say is like the battery does not seem like it is super lengthy.
It says 3 to 12 hours on the site. I'm like probably closer to 3.
Yes. Much closer to 3. So I was like doing like a lot of like, you know, installing stuff, and I think I got about 4 hours on it. And I just like played a couple things jumping in, like Helldivers ate the hell out of it. Also not maybe the best way to, it's neat that you can play it on a handheld. It's not the best way to play that game because, the X button, which is what you would use to reload. Mm-hmm. I kept accidentally pressing the start button, which is like your team menu. Because they're like really close to each other, so my finger kept slipping, and I kept, and so like you don't want to be doing that when bugs are chasing you,
no,
and you're trying to reload. So maybe it's not like the ideal way to play Helldivers 2, but it's cool that it is playable on it. And one last thing here. Do you guys remember a game called Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons?
Yeah.
From the 360. They released a remake of it, which has gotten some heat on it for a variety of reasons. I thought about buying that, and then I realized that at some point, I don't know if it was with Games with Gold or whatever, but the remaster of that I own. So I just decided to play that one instead. And that is still a really cool, like little, it's like 3.5 hours or so total to get from start to front to start to end of it. It's a really cool, like little adventure game where you're controlling the two brothers independently with the different sticks. And so the puzzles are designed around you having to do two things independently, which sometimes short, like your brain just misfires. You fuck things up because like you're trying to focus on maybe your left stick a little bit. So your like little kid guy is running into the wall. But overall, that game is super cool. Maybe I'll play the remake. It's cheap enough, but it does. Some of the tech reviews coming out of that are not great. And I don't know if I need to replay it so soon after having just played this one. So, but if you have not played the remaster or have not played the original at all, it's a really cool little adventure game. Give that one a shot. Was there any other news circulating out there?
There was news. There's always news. There's good news. There's bad news. There's news. But let's start with the big guy, the main event. It was his weekend. This weekend was Mario Day. So as part of that one, Nintendo being Nintendo has to announce the Mario movie in like the most not bizarre way. Because it's like
it's pretty bizarre.
It's not like the video was fine, but it's like it's that they don't announce it as a sequel to the Super Mario Brothers movie. It's a new movie in the Mario Brothers universe or something like that.
Which is not Super Mario Brothers the movie 2.
Yes,
we just don't know what it is.
Yeah, I'm assuming like if you know most conventional wisdom would be It's a sequel to the second highest grossed movie of last year. But the way they phrase it, it's like, is this like, is it each Mario movie going to be like something completely different? Which also would be weird, because like the end of the last movie teased Yoshi, or the credits. But yes, they announced that for, I think, April 6th, I want to say, 2026.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, pretty decent turnaround, all things considered. It took a year for announcement, but about 3 years for animation is about average for, you know, people who actually do sequels. They also announced 3 states for Luigi's Mansion, which is coming in June. Luigi's Mansion 2. And Paper Mario 1000 Year Door, which is coming in May. Which, you know, both remakes, so not something super new.
Dude, I think they're so obviously saving everything for Switch 2.
Well, what I was going to say, you know, good or bad, depending on what it is, the fact that these were both dated for the first half of the year, at least makes me think like they have something, you know, one or two games for the back half of the year for the original Switch. It may not be big games, but the fact that these weren't delayed into like August or September or something like that to fill in the gaps in the back half makes me think that they have stuff prepared for the back half of the year.
Well, you don't know. Maybe the Switch 2 comes out in August.
I mean, possibly, but, you know, everything points towards that not being the case. But again, you know.
Do you not think it's this year? Or you just think it's later?
I just because, like, every rumor has pointed, like, everybody has pointed to it being delayed into the new year.
Yeah, it seems like this time next year is the most likely scenario right now.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. I think it's too long. It's too long to be going on this death spiral that we're in.
I mean, I don't. The thing is, they still have momentum. You know, people are still engaged. And I think for better or worse, I don't necessarily think Microsoft or Sony are in a position where it's like super hot where you get it ignored. Like, they can kind of, like, it's not like this year is super huge where it's going to be like, oh, they're missing the boat. You know, I do think it's time, you know, you get people energized, you get a new system out the door. But like, yeah, it's like, you know, like sometimes you get those generational transitions where it's like, oh, you're going to be missing out on all these major games. And like we've said time and time again this year, it's like, what major games are this year? Like, there's some, but there's not a ton of them.
There's nothing.
For Jeff.
I hope the Switch 2 is this year because there's nothing.
Well,
also, yeah. can I give one hope for the Switch 2, which I do believe it'll be backwards compatible.
I hope so.
I think it, so it too. If nothing else, they've been pretty good at backwards compatibility, except for this generation because they switched from disc to cards. Like, you know, the GameCube was backwards compatible in the Wii was backwards compatible in the Wii U.
All your digital purchases should carry over. Yeah, but
the DS to the 3DS was.
Yeah, I mean, even the Game Boy to the DS.
But
yeah,
my big hope is that the Pro Controller will work on the Switch 2 because I have.
Oh, that's not happening. You're gonna have to buy a new controller.
No, I have four of them. I think I have five of them.
Why do you have so many? I don't understand.
Because they're fucking awesome and like.
Yeah, but you only use one at a time.
Five.
How many sets of hands? Are you like an octopus?
We have five because she has one for her Switch. So like.
Okay, so you have four for.
Yeah,
if you're playing Mario Kart,
yes. So nobody has to. Nobody has to fucking use the shitty fucking Joy-Cons.
That's what companies for. They're supposed to suffer.
By the way, Switch 2.
Use this. You have to play with it sideways.
I like the Joy-Cons, but I know I'm in a minority with that.
Switch 2 will not have Joy-Cons.
They will have Joy-Cons of some sort. I don't think they will have the Joy-Cons specifically. They do think the complaints about them being too tiny or like the drift. Would be a major issue they want to address, but I do think the idea of like having detachable controllers is
no, fuck that. It'll be the Switch, but the Joy-Cons are connected, and then like you'll get a controller to play when it's docked.
We shall see. I think I don't know. We will see. But In other news of stuff that's, you know, coming back with the Fury that might be too late, they re-announced the release date from, not re-announced, I guess they're going to officially release Multiverses, the yes. Warner Brothers, Smash yep. Brothers game that was in early access for like a year that they didn't tell anybody. And this is coming out in May. They, you know, noticed some of the changes, some of the characters coming to it. I think one of the big changes is, and I'm a terrible fighting game person, I don't know. Like, when people talk about, like, rollback netcode, I think that's what this is getting. Don't know what that means. I know, I mean, I kind of know what it means now, but people are excited for it.
My understanding of that is, like, so it's because a lot of the games, like, do predictive
mm-hmm.
input, so the rollback, I guess, is the it's supposedly like there's on a delay, I guess, that it's more accurate to what you're actually inputting. Supposedly, I don't know.
I think this is new. System Shock Remake is coming to PlayStation and Xbox in May.
Yes, that is the remake that came out last year on PC.
Yeah.
Generally well received. It is not the System Shock most people want, but it's a good game, so I'm kind of excited to play it.
This I'm curious about. I don't think they're going to go back and play it. But Sea of Thieves is a different game. Sea of Stars celebrated selling over 5 million copies, and the studio behind it, Sabotage, showed off a 3-player co-op mode, which would be that, like, kind of, is it Secret of Mana? One of the Super Nintendo games did that, where everybody would control a member of the party.
I think it's one of the Mana games, yeah.
Yeah. So that seems like an interesting little addition for the game. So I'm curious to see when that comes out and what happens to it. Just because, you know, it is what it is. The Killies were announced for this year, June 7th, two hours. Yeah. So Summer Game Fest kickoff. And
last, I think that's just the rest beginning of the summer.
Game Pass, right?
It's yeah. Like
3 months yeah. long.
Yeah.
Won't end until October.
And then in a bit of weird, no, I mean, not weird news, I guess, you don't often see it like actually happen. The Starbreeze CEO was ousted after Payday 3 launch did not go as anticipated. It is not often.
Put it mildly.
Yes, it's not often you see the CEO getting punished for these things, so I don't want to say good on them for that, but yeah.
Being good on them for holding an executive accountable, that's nice, as opposed to firing off, you know, 10% of your workforce. I just want, like, Payday 3's... The whole thing seemed a little suspect from the beginning. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of marketing behind it. Payday 2 is supposedly still going pretty strong. Like, what was the incentive for people to jump to Payday 3?
Payday, baby.
You know, the incentive was, how can we monetize this game that people are enjoying? And we can't do it to a game that exists already. So we have to do it to a game that's new, because that is Payday 3's big addition to the franchise, is we're going to have a bunch of funky currencies for you to buy everything. Costumes, masks, guns, skins, tags, you name it, you're going to earn a currency for it.
Got it. Sake, and you're probably right. They can't just, like, shoehorn that into Payday 2, because it would just get outright rejected.
Yeah.
Although, to me, that would make, at least then you know, you need people to buy into Payday 3 to engage with your currency on a base level. If they don't even want to do that, and that seems to be what happened, they don't even get to try your currency. Oh, well. Payday 3. I don't really want to talk about it. But
then don't.
Yeah.
Where are we going?
We're not going anywhere. I know.
We refuse to talk about
yeah.
a certain bloviating owner of
three-year-old hand company.
As somebody
wait, put,
as people put it, we're not going to talk about Jeff. We could talk about this offline. But as folks put it, you give it oxygen. You can't debate them in good faith because they don't want to actually hear a conversation about like how games are made or developed or consulted or whatever. So you're just giving them oxygen and getting other people to see. And you get idiots owning social media platforms saying interesting and wow.
Interesting.
Just like, I am confused as to what you're all talking about.
I know the interesting reference because that's what Elon Musk says to everything, but I have zero idea like what the thing we're not touching is. Can I touch it? Can I poke it with a stick?
No, we don't want to touch it.
Can I take my penis out and put my penis inside of it?
No.
The Dick Detective strikes again. He's back.
Dick Detective.
The Dick.
I'm not joking. I have no idea what you guys are like, because there was no allusion to what you guys, you're just like,
a certain thing giant that child is trying to reinvigorate the discussion into ethics in gaming journalism.
Are you serious?
Well now totally it's not about gaming journalism. It's,
yeah, I know.
It's
yeah.
about DEI in games. Yeah. And it's he's a shitbag, and
yeah,
the people that are surrounding around him are also shitbags.
The owner of Twitter?
Yes.
Yeah, that person. Wow.
Okay, so question.
Fat person?
Yeah.
Earl. Question. Hi, Walt from Florida. First time caller, long time listener. Question for the pod. With game prices varying so much and $40 games offering equal or better experiences as $70 games, that's a bit of a loaded statement.
So what?
Could you go?
I think the first thing we have to say is when you send in a text question, you're not a caller.
True. Secondly, this thing is a giant dangling modifier, which only English nerds will know.
Jeff is just he's like dissecting what is that called when you
parsing. We're parsing this. And
when you were learning language arts in school, though, like your teacher basically like dissected a sentence and like,
oh yeah,
that shit. Like I don't remember what that's called, but that's what Jeff's doing right now.
Subject, predicate.
Before we get to the question, Earl,
is there a question? I think that's what we're.
There was a question.
That's the first half of the question. The second half of the question.
Well, I want to get to the statement, which is not the question. I want to kind of cover that statement. Like, do we agree with the statement? Like, outside of Helldivers, which is great and is offering a great value and experience for $40. Do we agree that like there's $40 is always offering equal or better experience than $70?
I think if you go back like over the past several months, maybe that's true. I think if you go farther than that, you're like, okay, these $40 games are great. Are they Baldur's Gate 3? No, they are not. And that is a full priced game.
Yes, and there are $40 games that I'm sure are better than some $70 games.
Yes,
there are $70 games that trounce the $40 games.
Yes,
it's like there's no unilateral where it's like, oh, okay, $40 games and $70 games, you're gonna get the same experience no matter what. There's no universe in which that exists.
Yeah,
you're comparing them to like Suicide Squad and Skull and Bones. Well, okay.
It's all Skull over the map. It's a
quadruple A game, Tony. So, I'm like, what? Bellatro is $15, and we spent 3 weeks talking about that. Like,
it's I'm all, not sure all over the map.
Like, yeah, dude. I mean, sometimes you get those lower priced ones, and they're great. Vampire Survivors.
That's where I was going. $5.
Right? $5.
$5. You know what? Better than most $70 games.
Yes.
But then there's like the weird $60 or $70 game that is like so much worth it. That's like insane. Yeah. Like Baldur's Gate 3, Elden Ring, where it's like those games did not even need DLC. I mean, I know Elden Ring is getting it now, but like they were complete and beyond complete and more than you would ever expect from a game for a reasonable price. No, Elden Ring was $60.
Yeah, I was about to say the other thing is like we're missing the actual medium price of games, which is $60. which
yeah, is I said 60 or 70. Yeah.
Oh no, but I'm saying, but like, yes, it's variable pricing, I think, is great. I think, like Jeff said, with something like Contra, where it's like, it's a great game. Is it $40? Maybe not. That's different.
Like, that's a $40 game that I don't think gives you more than a $70 game in most cases. So it's all over the map, and it's a case-by-case basis, I think.
Yeah. It really depends on you. Like, if you're like, maybe Madden is worth $70 to the right person at the right time. It just really depends on the game.
Yeah.
And there are times when it is worth $70. It was not this year.
No.
But I feel like Walter was trying to come up with a question.
Oh, no,
and just pivoted to, could you go around the room and say something nice about each other? No. I can definitely not. Fuck you guys.
So I guess that answers the question. He does ask,
if Jeff can't, then the rest of us should not even try.
I already killed that in the butt. It's in the
butt. Which we couldn't, because Jeff can. But would you? But yes, it's being pedantic. It's one of those things. I think, you know, we talk about variable pricing constantly on this show. In general, I think it's something that the gaming industry needs to adapt. One price doesn't fit all. Just like, you know, like one type of game, you know, we don't have one genre. We don't have one system. One price doesn't make any sense. Like, you want to recoup your development. The problem with that, and it's the same problem you see with, you know, what is it? Was it Popeyes or somebody was like, you know, people were saying
like Wendy's was talking about it.
The problem with that is like it doesn't go two ways. It's a base price and then it's more. There's no like, oh, you know, like a good example, as much as I up them, Nintendo's very keen on like most of their games are $60. They don't often, I don't even know if they release any games like $40, maybe the WarioWare games. But like something like Princess Peach, I enjoyed the demo. I think that'd be much easier to sell at like $40. I think two remakes of a 3DS game and a GameCube game could be $40. But I assume those are both going to be $60. So,
well, and like what Super Mario RPG was a $60 game. Not entirely sure that was was worth $60.
Yeah, not based off of how long it is, apparently. So,
I want to go back to the food being variably priced, though. Like, can you imagine at some point you're like, it becomes the point where you're like, I'm a rich person, so I can have dinner at 6 o'clock at a restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I can afford the surge price for a burger.
Here's a dial menu from like 12 a.m. to 2 a.m. Are you hungry then for dinner?
But not at Taco Bell. They raise their prices then.
Well, that's what I mean. They'll bring them at the dial menu to say they have it, and then they'll put it at some obscure time. Like, you know, like how I was reading, I forget where it was, but you know, like how a lot of times where stores are like, it's like 75% up to 75% up, and it's like one item's like 75% off, everything else is like 5%, but it's up to 75%. We didn't say everything was 75%, but they don't put that in a tiny print. And I think that's what third pricing would be. It's like the dial menu's back, but you have to come shop with us between 2 and 4 a.m. But get your fill of cheeseburgers and hot dogs. Hey, those people do hot dogs.
Dude, charge them double. Charge them double late at night at fucking Taco Bell. Those fuckers.
That's exactly what they'll do.
Jeff, don't encourage them.
Taco Bell already went from like you could order everything on the menu for $10 to like if you order a taco, it's $10. Like, I don't get what happened at Taco Bell, but it ain't the cheapest anymore. No restaurant like fast food or otherwise is cheap anymore.
And that's what people are saying. Like, I mean, now it's almost like not even worth it to, aside from the speed. Like, yeah, if you're gonna get fast food like burgers and stuff, it's not that different price wise to go to like a Shake Shack versus a McDonald's.
It's like, order. Anyone's like you know, we have like nice burger places nearby and shit. People are like, I don't know, that's pretty expensive, man. $16 for a burger. I'm like, dude, you're paying $10 at fucking McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
Have you tried to go through the Wendy's drive through and pay anything less than $20? Like...
Have you tried to go through a drive through recently that didn't?
That's like the people say, like, talking about pricing, like, it's just up across the board in terms of food. Like, that's just how it is. Like,
but so much of it is driven by people being able to, like, we can get away with it.
Yeah, sure.
You know, yes, it is their prerogative. That's, but it's so much of it sucks because it's just like, you know, we're just, we can do this. Like, nobody's stopping us. Like, we can just say inflation and it's the big old spooky boogeyman. It's like, okay, but it's not. You're just like, or it was at some point. It's like, oh, people were willing to do this. We're just going to keep the prices this high. Oh, we're raising them higher. Well, my favorite was like, oh, you know, they're paying people more. So, no, they're not. They baked in that cost long ago. They're just like, we can get away with this. And you will blame everybody but us for this.
Yeah, I can't go to the grocery store without spending, like, minimum. Like, if I'm going to buy, like, bread, it's $50.
Whatever bread it just somehow is. Are you needing it?
Of course, there's a $30 bottle of booze, but...
It's like, oh, I need this, and I end up spending $60 at the grocery store. I only needed two things.
I do not walk out without spending at least, I'll be honest, like, with like at least $30. I'm not walking in that store and spending anything less, but like, it's very easy. Like, I remember one time last week, I went and bought like salad, a loaf of bread, and like, you know, a bottle of booze probably or something. It was like fucking 50 something bucks. I was like, Jesus, dude, I got nothing here. It's not even one meal.
It's rough.
Fucking Biden's America, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're not going to say anything nice about each other. So,
Thank you.
That's smart of you, Chris. You're a very intelligent person.
And I had something nice to say about Jeff, but he said we're not doing it. So, anyway, we'll be back. Not next week.
Now I'm curious.
Well, unless Jeff and you guys want to record without me, but I will be in Chicago. My son says he just wants to go. First, he was like, all I want is Popeyes, but he's decided he does not want Popeyes. Yeah, he hasn't had anything.
Chicago? Is the Chicago institution of Popeyes.
Do they not have Popeyes in Philly?
He's been on base eating what he is equated to boiled food for the last 9 weeks. He just wanted like something greasy that reminded him of home.
So you guys do have Popeyes?
We do.
Okay. Don't come to my Popeyes because he
literally in one of like the food capitals of the nation.
He wants Popeyes. Like,
Popeyes. So the other thing is we can't go into the city really with him because he has to be back on base at a certain time. And if we drive into the city and we get stuck in traffic and we don't get them back by then,
he goes AWOL accidentally.
Yes. So it's like the recommendation from, you know, the leadership at the naval base there is just like stay around there until he gets officially shipped out.
There ain't the best shit restaurant around there is Popeyes.
Jesus. So he has decided he doesn't want Popeyes anymore. So we're just gonna like maybe find like a local steakhouse or something. And
what is a Chicago fast food restaurant?
Jeff gave a bunch of it's like fast hot dogs food. And fast Italian food. Beef and.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I know he has like, but I mean, because in like New York would it be like a Shake Shack, Popeyes. I think of like New Orleans.
Portillo's is like
Portillo's. Yeah, that was the. Yeah.
And it's like. Pretty like people around here try to shit on it now. Like, oh, they sold out. Like they literally like sold it to some company or whatever. It fucking sucks now. And I'm like, it's still solid as fuck, dude. Like you want burgers, beef, whatever, hot dog. It's like really solid in my opinion.
So but, is that like an easy thing to find just about anywhere?
You could probably find that in Gurnee, yeah, somewhere near, or where, yeah, you're up near Gurnee, I think. So you could probably find it around there. And from there, you got to get the beef, man. You got to, you know, you gotta see what Chicago beef is all about.
I will try it.
Not. I will try it. So like
resigning myself to, like, I'm gonna try this stuff that you have listed here, but I don't know
if most other things I recommend to you is probably about an hour away from where you're at, but it's not going into the city where you can get stuck. It's like on the outskirts. It's like, you know, kind of like the surrounding area, like it's where the hidden gems are.
Got it.
And it's like you unless you're like in rush hour traffic, like you're fine, you get in and out. But hey, once we drop you off, we'll see you later, we're gonna go check out the real shit.
Yes, so we'll see him on Thursday, and then we'll be able to see him again on Friday, and then because the government, I don't know, the fucking military, everybody just packs up at 2 a.m. and they bring him to the airport, regardless of when his flight is.
Yeah.
His flight could be at 5 o'clock at night, but they will bring him to the airport at 2 a.m. with the rest of the people leaving to go to wherever they're supposed to go. He is just kind of stuck there on Saturday. My wife says we are not going and hanging out with him there. Because if you're military, you can get a special security pass to get past security if you don't have a boarding pass, if you're family. But she says we're not doing that, so Saturday and Sunday we'll be exploring Chicago. Okay.
Well, when you get to do that, like most of the things I sent you, Chris, that I separated them from downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the things. There's the cemetery near Wrigley is not close, but like, most of everything else I said is kind of near the neighborhood where I lived in a lot of my life. And, you know, all within like 10, 15 minute drive of each other. Like, it's like local driving on city streets. And you'll have fun. If you check out like most of the stuff on the top half of my list, you'll have a good time. You'll be like, yeah, that's some good shit.
Yeah, I've heard of the Galloping Ghost. I would like to try to go there.
So near Galloping Ghost, I want to say it's near Galloping Ghost.
For people listening, that is an arcade.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It has like, I think the most cabinets at least of any arcade in the nation. And near there, I want to say where you get the Italian beef and Gina and Jude's. But also near there is Brookfield Zoo, which is like a really nice zoo. So like less than 5 minute drive from that arcade is the zoo.
Okay.
So
my guess is that you guys will not be recording next week.
Oh no.
But otherwise we'll be back in 2 weeks when I return. And I'll reconvene with these guys. Jeff and I will retouch on Contra, as we will likely have finished it by then.
Oh yeah.
We'll likely have finished it before this episode goes live.
Yeah, probably.
And maybe by then I will have jumped into Final Fantasy Rebirth. Tony will play a little more Remake.
Yeah.
Earl's getting ready to come to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You gotta give him the Philly list.
It's a whirlwind of a trip, so I will be there maybe for like 2 miles.
You're doing a layover in the airport?
No, it's just like I'm going to WrestleMania and that event's like half of the day, both days. So I get to Philly like maybe I think 3 p.m. on Saturday, which was, I mean, that was just me being stupid and not wanting to spend an extra day in a hotel. So I will get to Philly on Saturday. The event starts at, like, I think doors open at 6:30. So I will get there, drop off my stuff, go there. The event usually runs until like 11. Then like the next day, breakfast and lunch, and then I'm leaving Monday morning. So hopefully I get some stuff in. But yeah.
So we'll be doing all that. And
Millennia will be out.
Millennia. Am I missing something?
It's Paradox's 4X game.
Oh, yes. You did explain this previously.
And it. Is Jeff's game of the year. He doesn't know it yet, but it is.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Princess Peach, I think, is out next Friday, along with everything else.
I thought he was telling you to go to Millennium Park or some shit.
No.
Yeah, the bean's not open, I hear. That's where the bean is, right?
Is it not?
Yeah.
Under construction.
If you go to the artist suit, though, you will see the bean. Okay. And also, I did not know that. So that's crazy that you know that and I do not.
It was in the Navy Facebook group that I'm in. So
it's also like you're still technically kind of in wintertime here. So it's like
things could be cold. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and just like, yeah, it's just like people are not hanging out in Millennium Park. Do you want to hear something crazy, though? Last time we went down to the city, we were like walking into Millennium Park. They had it like cut off with like a security checkpoint at every fucking way you could get in and out of the park. Like, so you had to go through like metal detector. They're, you know, fucking checking your IDs. Like, it was crazy, dude. Like, I've never seen that. And it's just because like the kids around there, I don't know what kids are like. Because downtown is like, it's all business shit. Like, I don't get how kids are down there, but like causing havoc lately. And so like, yeah, it's like, it was crazy to walk into Millennium Park, which is huge. You had to like go through a security checkpoint, like you're going to a concert. It was weird. It was very weird. Yeah.
All right. Well,
don't get shot. Good luck.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.
Oh, so
that was sultry. Turned on a little bit now.